Rickenbacker, huh? They could have shortened that to Gibson. Good morning, church. Anybody need a Bible this morning before we get started? Just raise your hand and we'll be glad to get one up here, one over there. Anybody else? Hands? Okay. Yeah, we do have some folks. We want to keep Drew Jenkins in prayer. Drew's been diagnosed with cancer, and he is in he's doing chemo right now, but it is the doctors have said it's fourth stage and it's terminal, so we need to keep Drew in prayer. Stan Yoder, who is an usher here, you might know Stan and Jeanette. He had heart surgery about, 3 weeks ago. And there's still a leak in his lungs. And so they're looking at surgery again to fix that leak. And so we just need to keep them in prayer. And I got a message from Rex last night. He's got the bug. And so we need to keep Rex in prayer as well. That bug is nasty. I can tell you it's nasty. So let's pray for them, and then we'll get into God's word. Father, we come before you. Lord, we can only say we are so thankful that we have a place to come to let our requests be made known, that we can come boldly under your throne of grace to obtain mercy, to find grace to help in time of need. And we ask, God, for your hand of grace to be upon those, Lord, that are just in need of your healing hand, Lord, and just your comforting hand and encouraging hand and the strength of your hand, Lord. So we lift up Drew, we lift up Stan, we lift up Rex, we lift up all of those, Lord, who are struggling with any kind of physical ailments. But these, Lord, just really came to mind, and we just ask, God, you as the great physician would indeed, Lord, touch and work your perfect work, God. And just bless, Lord. And as Lord, you know, man gives us certain outcomes or what looks like will be an outcome, we just look to you, Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, because, Lord, the issues of life and death are in your hands. And so we praise you today, Jesus, that we know you, because we know, Lord, when we do go through that door of earthly death, Lord, as we know you, we come into everlasting life, and that is just what we all have hope for, Lord, as we know you and we rejoice in you. But right now, we just ask, God, for your healing hand to be upon, Lord, these that we just pray for. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm sorry that Psalm 23 has been kind of sporadic. I wasn't planning on being sick a couple weeks ago, but then having to travel and do some other things, so that's where we are today. You can open your Bibles to Psalm 23. We're going to look at the second half of verse 3 this morning. And then next week, I've been doing this for the last couple of years now. I'm going to do a message on Halloween, that event that is coming up in a couple weeks. And I just have felt led, you know, to lead, at least to felt led to give a message on Halloween. And then the following week, have a good friend who will be sharing here. And boy, have we been blessed, I'll tell you, with just the people that we have to come in as visiting pastors and all. Dennis Davenport will be sharing with us. His wife, Donna, is going to be doing the women's retreat. And so Dennis, a good friend of mine, will be doing our Sunday morning service here at the church. And then when November rolls around, we'll get a good roll on Psalm 23, okay? And I tell you, I am just blessed, and just knowing that when I do go away, that there is someone here that loves you and is teaching God's word and cares for you and is preparing to be the shepherd of this flock. And we're just so blessed to have Pastor Kevin as a part of our church family and his family. And I just love coming on Wednesday night and being able to just be ministered to and to sit back and just to drink in God's word. And that's what it's all about when we come here and gather. Amen? Amen. Amen. So, Psalm 23. And I'm just going to find it here in my Bible. I know it's in here. There we go. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Well, the path of righteousness, that's just, he leads us in the right way. Isn't that good to know? That our good shepherd is just leading us in the right way. You know, there are so many different ways that we could go in our lives. And I think David is actually thinking about this. You know, because his life was challenged in many different ways. And sometimes he got off the path. And I think that's why he could write this psalm that we could all identify with so deeply. I see a dual picture actually going on here. And that's why I believe that this is so personal to us. And the reason why so many do identify with this psalm, and especially the believer. First of all, David is a shepherd. He was a shepherd of the sheep, but then of his father's sheep, but then he was also a shepherd of the nation of Israel. And now that he's older, and with all of life's experiences, I believe, behind him, he puts himself now in the place of the sheep, and as being watched over by his Lord, whom he calls his shepherd. And this is just how I see it. I see David looking at this not necessarily from the perspective of being a shepherd, but from the perspective of being a sheep watched over by the one he calls his shepherd. He's writing from experience, personal experience. Personal experience of just learning dependence, of learning obedience and learning trust, along with discipline and along with correction. Now, each of these have been lessons that his sheep have learned from him and his tender care, and now he's learning those lessons still in his life as he's looking back. I don't know for sure what part of life's journey that he is on, but I believe that he's writing the 23rd Psalm nearer the end of his life than at the beginning, because it just seems to me that to have these experiences and to be able to write something with such depth that we can all relate to, it has to have come from his life experiences. And so we read, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all of the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. What a psalm. Lord God, we thank you for this psalm. We thank you, Lord, for just how simple it is that the youngest child can really understand a little bit of this. And but yet, Lord, it's so deep that it ministers to our heart in every aspect of our life. And Lord, as we just look at this phrase now about leading us in the paths of righteousness, that comes right after being restored. Because Lord, as all sheep do, we have the tendency to wander. But Lord, thank you for going before us, for leading the way, for showing the way, for teaching us your way. And we bless you today, Lord, as we can just look a little bit into this phrase and think about, Lord, you leading us in the way of righteousness. And let us not forget it's for your name's sake, for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. There are some other thoughts that came to mind in looking at this psalm and at this phrase. And they came from David's experiences earlier, but I do believe they relate. In Psalm 86, verses 11 and 12, he reached out and he said, "Teach me your way, O Lord." And now he's talking about He will lead me in the way of righteousness. But he says, teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. So important that our hearts be united, that the focus be upon one thing, and that be upon our Lord, the Good Shepherd, who is going to lead us. And he says, I'll praise you, O God, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forever. And in Psalm 143, verse 8, he says, cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. Now, if you go back and you read these Psalms, Psalm 86 and Psalm 143, you hear that David is really crying out. He is very troubled in his spirit because of the situations and circumstances that are taking place and happening in his life. And so he's reaching out. He's saying, Lord, teach me your way. He's looking to someone outside of himself for guidance and for direction along this journey of life that we're all on. Teach me your way, O Lord. And this goes along with what Jesus had taught us to pray, not my will, but yours be done, O Lord. And this is what David is saying here in verse 23, as he's thinking about obeying the Lord, as he's thinking in his heart, his heart's desire is to know the truth of the Lord and to follow him in the paths of righteousness. The right way to go. Man is divided, and that's why he prayed for a united heart. Because we so often can be drawn away. And so he's praying also in Psalm 143, in Psalm 186, for a united heart. I don't want to be moved one way or the other. I want to follow you. I want to know you, and I want to follow you. And so he's trusting him. He wants to do that which will bring glory and honor to the Lord and exalt his name. Things that would say to the world in which we live, I am his and he is mine. And to us it says, as Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation to those who believe, to the Jew first and then to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And so it's by faith that we follow him who is our good shepherd as he leads us in the paths of righteousness. We want to walk along that path to glorify our Lord. I want the testimony of my life, when all has been said and done, when the last chapter has been written, when the book has been closed, to say that my life, the testimony of my life, glorified the Lord. I want my life to bear witness of his goodness and his mercy and his salvation. A song that we sing around here is, Lord, I want to live my life to please you. I want to live my life to please you. I bring my heart before you to remold. To remold. He says, I want to live my life in such a way, God, that you would be blessed, that it would bring honor and glory to you. Now, sadly, we know, as David did, there's just so much to distract us along the way in this journey that we call life. And we talked about some of this in our previous message, and he restores my soul. And so as David continues, he prays for that united heart. A united heart which suggests the potential of a divided heart, which we're all vulnerable to. One that says, not your way, but mine be done. That's far too often the path that we find ourselves walking down. But Lord, help us to remember, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and lead me in the way everlasting. It's called surrender. It's called yielding. It's called allowing God to have his perfect way in your life, that your will is surrendered to his life, that it's not my will be done, but your will as we walk along that path of righteousness. Now, from his experience as a shepherd and now seeing himself as one of the Lord's sheep, David acknowledges, like sheep, we can all be stubborn. We can be stubborn, we can be determined, we can be self-willed, and we can be distracted, and we can so easily be led astray by something or someone or ourselves. David found himself in these places in his own life. He wasn't immune to the same things that you and I are experiencing as we experience this life. But he also knew of the Lord's grace in correction and discipline and restoration. And now his heart has turned to reflect upon following the Good Shepherd in obedience to wherever he would lead. And he says, lead me in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. You see, when we think about this from our perspective, we're thinking about this as we're looking at Jesus, who is our Good Shepherd. And we are asking him to lead us in the paths of righteousness, lead us in the ways in which we should go, so that we're not distracted. And how do we do that? Well, we do that by keeping Jesus ever before us in Psalm 16. Isn't that right? I have set the Lord always before me. Therefore, because he is at my right hand, I won't be moved. So I'm going to stay along the path. But I want to really give glory and honor to him and his name. And so I believe that after being restored, and David says, lead me in the paths of righteousness, you know, for your name's sake, I believe he has come to identify and to know that the Lord indeed is in control of his life. And I believe that this is a point of joy. He's almost reaching up here now, because when he said, restore my soul, obviously he had gone astray. And now he's saying, lead me in the paths of righteousness. And I believe that this is just pure joy and humility after the thought of wandering and being in need of restoration. We're all in need of that. We're all in need of restoration. It's so important for a sheep to remember that as the Good Shepherd is leading us. Now, the purpose of his discipline, of the Lord's discipline on our life, is to restore us. It's to restore us to that place of fellowship. And he does that. He disciplines us for our own protection, for our own good, for our own health, our spiritual health, and for his glory. That's why he does it, because he cares about it. It's like a parent and a child. You know, when one of our children go astray, you know, we correct them and we discipline them. And we do that in such a way, though, that they know that they are loved, that they are cared for, that they are being tended after, that they are being watched over. And we only discipline them so that they will think, you know, before making a move the next time and going astray. And that's what the Lord does with us. With so many things out there, you know, we need that restoration even as David needed. And the Lord restored him to that place of fellowship. And now he says, lead me in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. I love this, because the Lord, he knows where he's going. He knows where he's going. And he knows how he wants to get us there too. Now the struggle for us, though, is found in Proverbs 14:12 and 16:12, where it says, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the way is the way of death. In John 14, we have an interesting conversation between Jesus and his disciples, and there could be no question about what he is saying here. So turn to John 14. You'll recognize this the minute we start to read it. Jesus knows he's been here, and he has gone back to his heavenly home. And so what he's saying here in John chapter 14, verse 1, and remember, from John 13, I think it's John 13 on, this is the very night of which he will be apprehended and crucified. And so he's preparing his disciples now for this very moment. But what does he say? He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Just stop right there and say, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. But Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me. You know, he goes on to tell Thomas a little bit later, Thomas, have I been so long with you that you do not know me? Have I been so long? Have I showed you? Have I taught you and showed you? When Thomas, you know, was saying, Lord, we don't know where you're going. And out. Have I been with you so long that you don't know? Oh, his eyes were opened a little bit later on. You remember he had a great experience a little bit later on when he was able to, Jesus had him thrust his hand in his side when he appeared to him after the resurrection. Great, great story. But, you know, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He says, follow me. You know, when I go on a trip, I'm not that adventuresome anymore. And I like to know where I'm going. And I like to know how I'm going to get there. Now, I know with these modern little pieces of technology that we have, and we can say, I am going to 695 Pleasant Street in such and such a town. And Siri will get me there. Now, she may not get me there the way I think I'm going to get there, but Nancy and I on our last trip, we got to this one place where we're following, you know, Google Maps right on down the road. I said, this doesn't feel right. You know, a left-hand turn, I think it's a right-hand turn. I don't know where it is. And like, so what did I do? I got a map. I wanted to see it. I wanted to see where she was leading us. Sure enough, she was leading us okay, but it was kind of confusing. Well, I keep saying Siri. It wasn't Siri. It was Google Maps. But you know what? I want to know. I just want to see. I don't want to end up, you know, going 50 miles in the wrong direction. You ever get in California on the freeway going the wrong way? I've done that. I got on the entrance one time. I thought I was going south, and boy, the minute I got on a thing and it turned me around and I was going north, I said, oh my goodness, where am I going? But that was well before the cell phones and before, you know, the direction. It would have been okay then. But on that trip, you know, when I go backpacking, I don't go so much anymore, but when I wanted to know where I was going. You know, that's why there was trails. We talked about that, I think. I mentioned how about the guy getting off the trail, you know, what happened to him a couple weeks ago, you know, how he wasn't there and he's going to sleep out under the stars, and I know the lake's right up there that we're going to, even though the trail's going this way, you know, and when we got there, he was a mess. He was soaking wet, and he was a mess, and then the thunderstorms came in, and he was sure glad that I had a tent big enough for both of us at that time. But I want to know that someone, you know, has prepared the way and is leading the way. In our spiritual walk, there's two ways, as I said. There's my way and the Lord's way. There's really only those two ways in life. There's the Lord's way, and then there's my way. And how blessed we are to have the way of righteousness laid out for us. To have Jesus, the Good Shepherd, leading the way. Can you imagine it any differently? Hey, Lord, follow me. No, I don't think so, huh? Doesn't that sound stupid, doesn't it? I mean, that sounds dumb. Lord, follow after me. No, 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 no. You got that wrong, fella. But so often that's the way it is, and we try to lead the way, and we get off the beaten track where Jesus said, you know, 20 times in the Gospels, I think we read, follow me. Follow me. Follow me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me. Now in his book, A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm, Philip Keller, he does have some interesting insights to this passage. Because he will tell us and show us that even the beaten track or beaten path has its drawbacks. And we must follow the good shepherd where he leads. Listen to what he says. Sheep are really interesting creatures of habit. They will travel the same trails over and over again until they are well worn. They will graze in the same pasture until there is nothing left and then graze some more. This can become dangerous because there isn't anything for the sheep to really nourish themselves with, as there is nothing there. It can also become a breeding ground for various parasites causing disease. Thus, the shepherd is always keeping the sheep on the move. It gives the fields a chance to turn over, and the sheep are provided with fresh pasture because they'll just keep after it and become sickly if they don't follow him. So even the beaten path, even the pastures, they have to keep on the move. Now, I see a very interesting analogy here within the body of Christ today, because some believers are very undernourished, feeding up on the same truths, the same doctrines over and over and over again. They'll come to church and they'll know exactly what it is that they're going to hear from the preacher, because it's the same thing that they heard last week or the week before or the month before, because some just have their own little pet doctrines that they like to lay on. That's why I think it is so important the way that we have been encouraged to study the Bible in a book by book and a verse by verse manner. Because, you know, some things will be uncomfortable to talk about, but there's no way that you can avoid them. But you get the whole counsel of God in doing that. But there are a lot of churches that do not do that. Some teachers get their sheep in such a rut by only expounding the same teaching week after week. They go over the same ground, and how sad it is when there is so much beauty in the Word of God and in His doctrine. You know, I believe the method that we have been taught is just the way to go. And this example, though, is clearly seen as how dangerous it can be when you just get off on this one pet doctrine, if you will. And we can see how that, I don't know so much today how much this has infiltrated the church, but years ago it was called the faith doctrine. And basically what it is was where we put too much emphasis upon what man says and not enough emphasis on what God is trying to say to us. And that's really the difference. It's a teaching that just puts us in a place of leading, basically, rather than letting God lead in the paths of righteousness. Because you see, it's all about Him. It's all about following Him and trusting Him who is the way, the truth, and the life. And His word is on the line here. His name is on the line here. His honor is on the line here. His credibility is on the line here. When we talk about lead me in the ways of righteousness for your name's sake, I will guarantee you, He won't lead you astray. He won't lead you astray. Even though we'll challenge it sometimes, He'll get us back. He'll get us back on that path. But when, as some churches do, they narrowly focus on one doctrine, one position, without the benefit of the whole counsel of God, you see, the tendency then becomes to pervert the truth that is declared. What do I mean by that? Well, the danger is the balance of the word becomes weighted to an embraced position, to where that's the only position. And what happens? Then we have a divide. We have division within the church. We have division, theological debates that literally divide the body of Christ. Over here we'll have the Calvinist doctrine, and over here we'll have the Arminian doctrine. And you know what? It's like people have come now to this place, the Calvinists and the sovereignty of God, and the Arminians, the free will of man. And sadly, we have now the church that are arguing over what they feel is an either-or situation, and it's not. Because both doctrines are clearly taught in the Bible. But you see, when you only lean on one, then it becomes a place where people dig in and it becomes a fight. It becomes butting heads within the body of Christ. You know, both of these doctrines are clearly taught in Scripture. God is sovereign over all His creation. Amen? We won't argue about that, will we? He is sovereign. And in His sovereignty, He's given man free will to choose, to follow Him. And it's as simple as that. But it can get very difficult for some who have dug in, and that's the only doctrine. We have others that, you know, maybe aren't maybe as severe as that, the rapture of the church. Well, you've got the pre-tribulationists over here, which we, that's us. That's us. And then you have the post-tribulation. And I say, well, that is way out of bounds. Maybe there's something in the middle. And you have the mid-tribulation position. And all of a sudden, you know, generally speaking, I think that, you know, the truth is found in the middle, but not in this case. Not in that case. You know, we have the, you know, sprinkling. Is it by immersion or is it by, or, you know, baptism? Is it by sprinkling or is it by, you know, immersion? And so, you know, just all these things. But when one church, when they start to lay upon these things and they don't have really a scriptural basis, then it becomes an issue within the church. As we teach through the Bible, we teach what's there and we try to keep the focus on Jesus. Because man can get in the way with his doctrine. And it can get crazy. And I think, you know, the one that really, you know, is a difficult one for me is the Calvinist and the Arminian, you know, because they are both taught in the Scripture. The sovereignty of God and the free will of man, they're both there. Not an either-or situation, but it amazes me that God has given us His Word to build man up, and look what's happened. As we are following Him, as He leads us in the paths of righteousness, and you know, these over here are thinking that they're following that path, and all of a sudden there's conflict within the body of Christ, and yet His Word is supposed to unite us, not divide us. His Word is to unite us, to teach us about Himself, and who He is and His perfect plan for our lives, and to keep us in a place of honoring and trusting. His Word shows us the paths of righteousness. He's given us the blueprint for righteousness. In Romans chapter 14, verse 7, it says, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit are for those that will follow Me for complete satisfaction in our life. Isn't that cool? The paths of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. We read, you will show me the path of life, and your presence is the fullness of joy. As we follow that path of righteousness, you will show me the path of life. You see, it's also a path of life. Life everlasting. It's a path that will lead to the fullness of joy. Not just happiness, but joy. And you know the difference between happiness and joy, right? Happiness really affects how we feel about things. And we can go up and down and up and down. But if there's a joy in our heart, there's a constant there that just keeps us on an even keel. And He says, you will show me the path of life, and your presence is the fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. We sing, your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto our path. And it gives understanding to the simple. Oh, Lord, let us hang on and hold on and devour your word. Because it isn't meant to divide us. His word is not meant to divide us, but to unite the heart. You know, James tells us that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways in James chapter 1, verse 8. But as we're looking at the Lord, we're not going to be divided. Our worldview will be based upon what the Word of God has to say, not what CNN or MSNBC has to say. Isn't that neat? You know what? No matter what this world, the changes that this world goes through, our worldview should come from this book. These 66 books. And we don't have to worry. You can even add Fox News in there. I don't care. They got their stuff. But, you know, this doesn't. this word here will lead us on the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. This is our manual. This is the operator's manual for our life. Amen. It isn't meant to divide, but to unite the soul and the spirit, to fear. And that word fear means to honor and to exalt and to glorify His name. In other words, to give honor to our good shepherd as we are taught and we learn from Him, being thankful that He is leading the way. Amen? Whew. We're not following a hireling. We're not following a false shepherd or a false god such as Allah, the moon god. We're following the sun. And I would rather be led by the sun than the moon any day. Right? All right. As long as we're on the same page there. We will be convicted and we will be challenged to live righteously and to live holy before man and before God as He leads us in the paths of righteousness. And there will be times when you and I will be mocked and chided for our faith. Some wanting to belittle us for our faith that we have chosen. When I take a stand on the abortion issue, when I take a stand on the marriage issue between a man and a woman, the world will chide us, but we're on the path of righteousness because that's what the Word teaches. Amen. You know, a couple weeks ago, I left this in here today because a couple weeks ago, you remember, another issue, and the world is just waiting to sink their hook in us, you know, and chide us and mock us. And you remember a couple weeks ago, you know, there was the prediction that the end of the world was coming. You remember that? The end of the world is coming. Now, we know it's coming, but we're not going to pick a date, right? We're not going to pick a date. But the world loves to mock the Christian that we would even think such a thing. And this is why it's so important for us to stay close to the Lord and to stay on the path in which He is leading and follow. We don't know when Jesus is coming for His bride. The end. But we know it's near, don't we? We know it's near because of this. Not because of anything else. And even though, you know, he may come during the fall festivals of Israel, you know. But our main thing is to keep our eyes upon the Lord to watch. Listen, here's what the Scripture says. You know, the Scripture says to watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Luke chapter 21, verse 36. Why? Because in Matthew 25, 13, he says, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Can it be any more clearer than that? And furthermore, simply, Luke 12:40, be ready. Be ready. Are you ready? He says, be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you think not. So let there be no doubt, He is coming. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 through, I'll say, the first part of 10. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness. But here's why He's tarrying. But the long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. That's His desire. He's not slack concerning His promise. He's not diddle-dallying around. You know what He's waiting on? He's waiting for that last Gentile to come to the Lord. Or that last person to come to the Lord. And then the Father will say to the Son, it's now. It's time. It's time. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. That's why He says, watch. Be ready. Keep your eyes focused upon Him. Watch. Oh. paths of righteousness, the right way. Do you know what I mean when I say that there are so many different ways that we can be led astray today? There are so many things that can just pull at us that sound good, that look good, that might even seem to feel good. But we don't go by our feelings, do we? Ours is a walk of faith. The just shall live by faith, is what we said earlier. So we keep our eyes upon the Lord because we're following after Him because He knows where He is leading us. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And yet there are so many things that will draw us away today. And I'm amazed at how easily. You know, Paul even wrote to the Galatians, I am so amazed that you could be so distracted at this point after knowing the truth that you would follow after, you know, a hireling, so to speak, a false teacher, false gods, a false religion. I'm amazed, he says. You know, we came to the Lord because we knew and we realized that the path that we were on was simply leading nowhere. And so we came to the Lord and we dropped to our knees and we raised our hands and we said, I surrender. And he said, come, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and follow me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. God, help us to stay on the path of righteousness in obedience to your word, watching us, over us as we wait in anticipation for your coming, but always following his lead, and that we occupy, keep doing business is what the new King James says. The old King James says, occupy until he comes. Be busy about the work of the Lord until he comes. You know, we could never do this without yielding to him, trusting him, and believing him, honoring him and following him in obedience and guidance and glorifying his name. Yes, it's his name. All that he stands for and all that he is. A name that God the Father has highly exalted. Philippians chapter 2 verse 9 through 11 says, therefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and those of heaven and earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of lords to the glory of God the Father. Oh my, that name above every name. A name that we're told also is the name of salvation. In Acts chapter 4:12, we read, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. May this be our prayer. Lord, thank you for revealing yourself to us, that we might know you who is the way, the truth, and the life, and that we may know your word and your salvation. Lord, help us to be obedient. Help us to be obedient to you, to follow you in the paths of righteousness and the way that you would lead, regardless of the mockery of the world as it tries to lead us astray. May we follow you on the path of righteousness, Lord, just doing the right thing, even though the world would send out all their power to belittle us, to mock us. May we stand strong in you, Lord, and that we would honor you and be obedient to you in your every command for your name's sake. And I would pray that, Lord, don't let me dishonor you in any way. Whether it be here in this church or whether we go home and shut our doors what happens behind our closed doors. Don't let me dishonor you in any way. But may I glorify you in all that I say and do and follow you on the path of righteousness. Turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 32, verse 17 and 18. We're going to close down here. Isaiah chapter 32, verses 17 and 18. This is what Isaiah writes that will be the result of staying on the path of righteousness. Doing the right thing. He says, the work of righteousness will be peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And my people will dwell in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. Isn't that a beautiful passage of Scripture? The work of righteousness, just doing the right thing. Just doing the right thing will be peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And my people will dwell in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings and in quiet places. Now I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 35, just a few chapters over, and look at verses 8 through 10. You know, we're all on a journey, and the path of righteousness is the one that we want to stay on. We want to follow Him who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And He says here now in Isaiah 35, 8 through 10, a highway shall be there and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. Thank you, Lord. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go upon it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy in their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighings shall flee away. Does that sound like a pretty cool road to be on? Man, I hope we're all on that road. Walking that road, that highway that should be called holiness. I pray that our lives, this is the journey that we would be taking. This is the highway that we would travel because we are following our Lord, the Good Shepherd, as He leads us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Oh, Lord, I love you. I want to follow you. I don't want to get off the beaten path. I know what it's like to be on the beaten path, the one that I've set out on. And it's a mess. It's a mess. But I want to stay close to the Lord. I want to be obedient to my Lord in doing the right thing as I walk the path of righteousness. I want to be obedient. And at the same time, I want to stand up and I want to be counted. I want to make a stand in this world. I want to make a stand for truth and for righteousness and for the Lord. And in doing so, I don't want to do anything that might cause dishonor. I want to pray, not thinking more highly of myself, but to esteem others on this path of righteousness. I want to esteem them more than myself. And I want my worldview and my outlook on life and my attitude towards others to be uplifting and to edify so that my Lord would be given honor and be glorified. Lord, lead me in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. that I would do the right thing, always, that I would follow you in the way that you have ordained. Lord, I want to follow you to the life that leads into eternity, into your presence. Lord, as David said, you restore my soul, lead me in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Lord, we do know that this is the way to go. And Father, I pray that you would give us boldness, that you would give us strength, that you would give us courage in the midst of this world, Lord, this world that crucified you, Lord, that wanted to have nothing to do with you. I pray, Lord, that we would stand and make a stand for truth and righteousness as we walk that path. Lord, give us the courage. Give us the courage to stand strong in you, Lord, in the power of your might. Lord, that the testimony of our life would bring glory to you, because we do the right thing. God, help us. Give us discernment. Lord, when we have choices to make, to keep our eyes focused upon you and not waver to the right or to the left, Lord, but to stay on that path as you're leading us. Knowing, Lord, that you will lead us beside the still waters and the green pastures, Lord. That we will be nourished by you and by your word. But Lord, help us stay close to you. Father, I pray that you would pour your spirit upon this fellowship. Upon this fellowship of believers, Lord. I pray, God, that somehow something, Lord, that was said today, Lord, would have been of you, and you, God, would take that and apply that to our hearts as we continue this journey of life. And Lord, if we have been wandering, if we have been making decisions according to the world's way, Lord, that we would see your word is truth. And that's what we should be making our decisions of life on. Father, I pray for this body. I pray, Lord, that you would pour your spirit out upon this body of believers, Lord. I pray that you would cause us to grow. I pray that you would give us the strength in every adversity that may come our way, Lord, in our lives and our families. Lord, whether it be health issues or whether it would be financial issues or whether it would be spiritual issues, whether it would be any kind of issue, Lord, political issues, Lord, that we would just look to you, Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and we would stay close to you in all of our decisions in life. Would be based upon the word, God, that you have given us. Your word is truth. So lead us, Lord, I pray. Teach us your way, O Lord. And unite our heart to follow after you. Father, I pray that everyone here today, Lord, knows you. And I pray that they are on that highway to holiness, Lord, that's going to lead into everlasting life with you. I pray, Lord, that everyone listening on the internet knows the same thing, Lord, knows you in a personal and a living way. But God, if there are any in our midst today who have never come into a personal and living relationship with you through faith in you, Jesus, believing that the death that you died at Calvary 2,000 years ago and the blood that you shed upon that cross was for them and for the forgiveness of their sins, that they might have life everlasting. Father, I pray that their hearts would be softened today and that they would know that you love them. You love them in such a way that you want them to be with you forever and ever throughout all eternity. But that is a step of faith that they have to take. They have to believe in their heart and they have to trust you and they have to follow that path of righteousness, trusting you. If there's any in our midst today who have never come to that place of just have given your life to Christ and asked him to be the good shepherd of your life, leading you in the right way, that you've never come and confessed your life to Him and confessed that you have gone astray and you need restoration and ask for the forgiveness of your sins. Because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He goes on to say that the wages of sin is death. That would be eternal death. But the gift of God is eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. Do you believe in Him today? If you don't, please don't let another day go by, because we do not know how many days we have. We don't know how many weeks we have. We don't know how many months we have. We don't know how many years we have. We don't know how many breaths we have left before we cross that line into eternity. If you do not know Jesus today, can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? Will you ask Him today, if you've never asked Him to be the Lord of your life and your Savior? Can I pray for you today? If so, will you just raise your hand where you're seated today? Just raise your hand and let me know if you want me to pray for you. God bless you. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else here who would say yes, Richie? God bless you. Is there anyone else in our midst today who would say, I want Jesus. I want to know my eternal destiny is set for all eternity. Along with these who have made this acknowledgement today, maybe there's some on the internet who are listening today. I can't see you. I can't, you know, I ask here for them to raise their hand so I know to pray for them. But I don't know. I can't see through that little camera up there. But if you want to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior today, then I would just ask that you would pray this same prayer that these are going to pray here in this congregation today. And then that you would get in touch with me so that we can get you involved in a church, in a church fellowship that's going to teach the Word, that's going to go through the whole counsel of God and help you along the way. But you too who acknowledged me today and acknowledged this invitation, I want you to pray this prayer. And then after the service today, I want you to come up and I want you to sit on the right side of the in the front row up here, and there'll be someone here to come up and talk to you concerning the decision that you made. So pray this prayer with me now. And every believer who is here will be just praying right along with you. If you want to pray out loud, that would be awesome too. But just pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you. Sometimes words just don't really seem enough. But these two words come from my heart. Thank you. I know that I could have crossed that line into eternity before this moment, and I would have been lost. I would have been lost forever. But today, Jesus, because what you did at Calvary 2,000 years ago, when you were nailed to that cross and your blood was shed, I believe it was shed for me personally for the forgiveness of my sins. I confess to you today that I am a sinner and I need a Savior. And I open my heart to receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and as my Savior. Thank you for the hope that I now have in you, that when I cross that line into eternity, I won't be lost, but I'll be in your presence forever and ever. And that's going to be a long time. But thank you, Jesus, for loving me, for caring for me, for coming from heaven's glory for me. And the work that you did at Calvary. Thank you, Jesus, for waiting for me to make this decision in my life that is now surrendered to you. For it's in your name I pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. So I do want you to come up to the front after the service today, because there will be someone here to talk with you. Oh, glory. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 Keep us on the path of righteousness. Oh, Lord. And Wednesday night, good night for fellowship. Good night for a meal, a physical meal, but a spiritual meal as well. So, you know what, as you're tootling around, think about coming here on Wednesday night at 6 o'clock for that meal. And by the way, I know that some of you did see the documentary on Steve McQueen. I hope that I didn't lead you astray on that. I hope those of you that saw it thought it was a pretty powerful documentary. It's going to be showed again this Thursday, the 19th, at the Promenade. I don't know. You'll have to look it up. But it's a powerful witness and a powerful story of Steve McQueen giving his life to Jesus Christ. And I hope you all have a chance to see it. It's called Steve McQueen, Salvation of an American Icon. God bless you guys. See ya.